I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Wow, this is crazy, Sacramento, being in an NBA arena. I'm a Celtic fan. I know. A lot of you guys are looking like, well, why are you wearing that Kings? Well, I like free swag. Plus, I look good in purple. No, I am also a fan of the Kings. It was hard not to be a fan in the 90s. I mean, you guys had Vadi Divac, Chris Webber, Jason Williams, White Chocolate. That's actually what I used to go by. I wasn't a basketball player, I was a lifeguard, but I wanted people to call me that. Big Kings fan, as of today.
I know you're a Celtics fan, but it's not, you don't...
Yeah, I'm not hardcore.
You're not a hardcore fan.
I don't know.
Not a hardcore fan is the only person that will go up in the Kings Arena and say I'm a Boston fan. They literally, Sacramento just lost to Boston in a heartbreaker.
That night?
I mean, not even that day. Minutes.
In a playoff push.
Before the show started. Yeah, they're trying to make the playoff. And they lost by one. They came back, they were down 19.
Hey, I'm trying to remember, did he get them on his side first with some good jokes?
No.
And then say he was a Boston fan? What did he do?
When you watch Nick up there, just know, whatever Nick's saying before he says Boston, all he's thinking about is Boston. So the words he's saying is just like, you know, that's just like the work he
couldn't
has to
here.
Do. It's like, hey, fine, Boston. You know, he just can't wait to get it out.
I'm a Celtic fan.
As he wears all their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then they booed.
It was fun.
It was a healthy boo.
It was close to 20,000 boos. But it was fun though to go from that to there we're back.
To doing fine.
Then you went into your
to doing
all right.
I'm joking. You did do great. So he did, he turned it around.
Yeah. And then he closed it, he goes, that's my time, go Boston, and then he left.
Yeah.
That would have been great. I do kind of want to do the Kings. I mean, it would be stupid to do it, but there would be actually an equal amount of Kings fans here, probably.
Yeah.
He's still wearing the Kings stuff.
He wants to say LA Kings.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, so he wants to do it again tonight.
I want to do it again tonight. I do, because...
We don't know, and the other thing is we don't have to...
Just...
I don't know.
Because you're mad at your dad or something. I don't know what.
His dad's a wonderful person.
It's not fair.
Yeah.
It's not fair to these people. It's not fair to his dad.
Guys, Nate's on stage for another 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about whatever we want to talk about.
I'm going to hold Mike's hand during
this. I think that's nice. Because Mike, this is your first weekend on the tour this year.
This is my first weekend on the tour.
And how'd you feel out there tonight? It's in the round.
Yeah. It's in the round. It's a little bit disorientating, to be honest.
Yeah. You say it the British way.
Disorientated.
Disorientated.
Yeah, disorientated. Is that what?
Disoriented.
He separates them.
Is American.
Okay.
I didn't realize you went to Oxford.
I'm sorry, Julian, that I'm educated.
Speaking
and
of,
it infuriates you.
He always does make me furious.
He's so disoriented that he said disorientated.
Mike, if a guy that looks like you is smarter than a guy that looks like me, what is this world coming to?
We both look dumb.
Speaking of professors,
meanwhile,
Joe, what are you?
Yeah, I mean, compared to all three of you, I look super smart.
You too.
Well, Joe is actually super smart. We were stuck in the airport together, and Joe, like... A flight got canceled. Joe was already on, got us all booked on another flight faster than anybody I've ever seen. He had us checked in. He canceled the flight and had the points and had the flight rebooked. And by the time we knew what was going on, it was crazy.
Well, we thought he was smart and then found out that his day job, he works for the airline.
Yeah, that's true. He's an industry plant.
Yeah.
Is he taking a bag in the back over there?
No, I hatched a clever plan, and I won Mike Vecchione, $275.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So.
Oh wow.
In the travel bank.
Nice.
How'd you do that? We'll talk about this after the. That's gonna be literally the most boring conversation of all time. How to get more points?
What happened on the plane?
Oh, so basically,
I don't know if Joe wants this blown up as personal.
Can I just say? Can I just say? My wife Meg met Joe and thinks he's very sweet, but also feels
I think
like
sexy was the word she used.
She said,
"Thank you."
Sexy. Thank you. Yeah.
She said that his personality seems like the kind of guy who his therapist told him that he needs to say hi to 5 new people today. That's that's the and then yesterday on the plane he had a pretty good day. So the your first person was the flight attendant on United. Tell us a little bit about how that happened.
Yeah, I had that in my head that I needed to say hi to 5 people a day based on what your wife imagined a therapist would say to me. Now I'm in on it.
But the thing is, I'm sitting next to Joe, and I wasn't in on it. So Joe goes, "Oh, go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry."
Well, there was a woman that came. There was a stewardess that came to the front of the plane. We were front row, first class.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, listen to that! That came out there.
Bulkhead.
And, bulkhead. I don't know how to request non-bulkhead first class.
Yeah. As
soon as I figure
that out, we're gonna get back into it. We gotta. Nobody wants flying.
Well, the pilot was talking to her. Clearly, he was trying to hit on her. And he was like, "Did you get hurt in the back?" And she was like, "Well, the seatbelt came off." And he was talking about all the turbulence, and he was apologizing for all the turbulence.
Because he flies the plane. Was that a power move?
Ooh. Yes. He was definitely using a power move.
I was flying the plane. I hope it wasn't too bumpy for you because I was flying it.
I hope it was bumpy enough.
It was a power move.
That's why I can't be a pilot.
So then, charming?
Yeah.
So then she was just standing there, and I'm like, this is my chance to chat, to practice chatting.
Practice chat.
Because she can't move.
She can't move. Yeah. And and I said, "Hey, did you get injured?" And she said.
This is on the heels of the same conversation that she just had with the pilot. Yeah. I
so
like
she's
that.
Saying they have the cart in front because the pilot is out going to the bathroom, and 9/11, they have to put the cart in front with a flight attendant standing there.
Murderers can't get over carts.
Yeah, murderers can't get over. The Taliban cannot hurdle the cart.
Right. So she's guarding the cart.
She's guarding the cart. She's doing her job as a United States citizen.
As a hero.
Yeah. And Joe, you decide to.
I said.
Chatter up.
I said, "Hey, are you injured?" And she said,
"Are you injured? Are you injured?
God, that's cool, Joe.
Oh,
that's
so
good.
God, are you injured?
That's right. You did say that. And what did she say?"
And she said, "What?"
Yeah.
And
but
I,
then you said.
And then I said, "Are you injured?" And then she said, "I'm sorry." And then Mike said, "Joe said, are you injured?" You take it from here, Mike. I don't remember what she said.
I don't know. She had a thing on her. She goes, "No, I just, it was bumped." And ever since that Air Alaska thing happened, I said, "Yeah, I know what you're talking about." Joe said, "What was the Air Alaska thing?" I said, "I'm sorry. My friend doesn't read the news."
I kept it going.
My friend doesn't read the news. Yes, it was. I didn't realize you do read the news, but it was your plan. You were playing possum.
I played possum.
Joe. You played possum.
Silky Joe.
I love that Smooth Joe says, "Hey, explain to me this air-based tragedy that just happened while we're on a plane."
She had to go through it, and you know what? I felt like a little bit of a connection there, but I didn't feel like I did enough, because when the flirting between the two happens, it's nice, and there's like a little bit of sparks flying here and there, but you know, somebody has to step up and make it awkward and go, "Hey, you know, my friend Joe is handsome. He smells great. He takes care of himself.
He's got a suede jacket.
First class.
He's
in first class.
Yeah, and he's a bird watcher. Don't make me go into it, how debonair this guy is.
Yeah.
So
she rides on planes. I watch birds. There's some commonality.
Yeah. You guys are both sky people.
Sky.
You're both sky people.
You have sky interests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I didn't do that. And I was waiting for her. She was working in the back of the plane, and we were in the first class. So we really, in my defense, we didn't see her again.
Now, hold on. I do need to say that Joe has had relations in the past. And I'm curious, What is your move to make it to like the now it's I'm getting the phone number?
Is
what
Joe
is,
so
what is that move?
Joe is so smooth. I don't think the girl even knows.
Yeah.
She thinks she's signing up for a seminar.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, how do you have my number? And then how are we on this date?
Yeah.
And then how are we dating?
Yeah. How are we dating for 9 months?
But I like a good stump them in a conversation. Like, what's your favorite color? Whoa, I didn't know. You know that.
Yeah.
Are you injured? Was a great. You know. No. You don't know what's yeah. coming. How mm-hmm. do you respond yeah. to that? Maybe I am. You know.
But Nick, like, that's your technique. So aggressive that it startles them.
Yeah.
See, Joe is yeah. silky.
Silky.
He just like, it's yeah. not my method. Yeah. I'm not. I've never asked anybody if they're injured. I don't know. But
I think the way you get into a relationship is you chat up. You just chat up. You just keep chatting people up until one of them just kind of like falls into your lap on accident.
But isn't there a thing, Joe?
You mean like wear them down?
No, I mean more just
how
numb.
Do they fall into you? Isn't there a thing
numb
where...
Numb them?
Isn't no, it, numbers. Numbers.
Yeah, yeah,
but isn't
yeah.
there a thing where you have to step up and go, look, can I get your number? Can we go out on a date? Like, this chatting has been nice.
Yeah.
I'd like to continue it. At my place.
We got to get this winky stinky.
I probably move a little slower. I probably move a little too slow on that move.
But you need a connection. You know, otherwise, like in this situation, like the girl is going to go away if you don't close, if you don't make some way to connect to her.
Right. Well, I mean, that was too, so to me, that was too forced of a situation to press for anything.
Yeah, right.
That's more of a situation where if you run into her again 17 times, at some point you're like, hey, we keep seeing each other.
Yeah.
Let's maybe take this to an 18th time.
Have you guys ever used, I know it's been a long time since a lot of us have been single. Sorry, Joe.
Uh-huh.
But have you ever used your act in a conversation? Like, have you ever been like, you know, people say I sound like Winnie the Pooh.
No, I have a guilty... I have a very guilty conscience with that. I will go over the top to be like, if they ask me about a topic that I talk about in my act, I'll go over the top to be like, well, I do have a bit about that topic, and I'm not going to do the bit on you.
But if I did do the bit on you, it would be like this.
Yeah. But what about the Uber ride from the airport to the hotel?
With Gina.
We picked up a girl named Gina, which is a good omen, because the girl that you wanted to hit on was Gina.
Oh,
and this
right.
was another Gina.
The flight attendant was
yeah,
Gina.
Yeah, it was a two Gina.
And then
night.
The Uber driver was Gina.
The Uber driver was Gina. And I had a really good one that I would like to recount now, where I was like, thanks for the pickup, Gina. I know you got to move fast because you got a lasagna in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
And it really didn't hit with her.
No.
She didn't realize there were comics.
Right.
That didn't help.
But a lasagna in the oven? Gina, a lasagna? And then she said, my brother calls me Gina. And sure. she took it blue.
So listen to my blue. Uber from the airport. I'm in the
Nick yeah. came in.
Somebody had to rescue this.
You just hijacked.
This
you just hijacked
going.
The Uber top.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean, we need another Uber story because it was Gina was. I didn't know where this was going.
We're supposed to be supportive.
We'll bring it back
other,
to Gina. We'll bring it back to Gina. Go ahead. Side tangent.
Side tangent. I took an Uber. It was
it better be better
it.
Than our
it was
story.
Hard to find. It was hard to find the Uber. I get in it. He asked me what I'm doing. I tell him I'm a comedian. You know, and he says, yeah, you know, I had a ride earlier, Nick Thune. And I was like,
really?
Oh, wow, Nick Thune is here? And he goes, the comedian? He goes, no, the pilot. I picked him up earlier. I was like, why would you tell me the name of a Nick Thune? First of all, you're revealing your customer, which I don't think you're supposed to do.
Right.
And then you randomly say Nick Thune. I was like, did he have a beard? Then I was like, did Nick Thune just say he's a pilot? Like, was that his thing?
Oh.
And he's like, no, he didn't have a beard.
Huh. Oh, so there's a Nick Thune out there that's actually contributing
a
to
pilot.
Society.
Nice.
Well, the funny thing about this, too, is
we don't need to talk
tracking,
about me at the airport.
We were tracking a milkshake
that's
and
right,
a massage.
That's right, milkshake. We were Julian went off
our
the
layover,
rails.
Our layover
on
was
his
about
diet?
20 minutes. We were about 20 minutes into a six-hour layover, and I was like, that's it. I can't take it anymore. I'm getting a milkshake and a massage. Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do for the next 5 hours.
And Joe went to Starbucks. We all went to our, and then
by the way,
Pimp went to a steakhouse.
I don't know how many people need to hear this, but it for future reference, if anybody, massage, then milkshake. Way better.
Yeah.
way better that order
makes
of
a
doing
lot of
things.
Sense.
Yeah.
You did the milkshake first.
The massage guy was
he's
so
bloated.
I did the milkshake first.
He's like,
he's pushing on my back. I'm like, whoa, buddy, don't push.
Yeah.
The. Oh yeah, I also
had to go back.
Well, I realized that I had. Oh no, that was a different time.
Is
I
it
left
fair
my
to
charger
say you're a wanderer though? At times, you'll do.
But
a
all
little...
who wander are not lost. So, but I got lost.
That was good.
And I was. Yeah, I went to. I don't know where I was trying to. I was trying to go to another terminal, and then I went took the wrong the monorail thing the wrong direction, and ended up back at the entry of the airport, and I couldn't get back in without going back through security. So I went through security twice. But that's a good way to kill time too, because that
it
takes
is.
A long time.
It is.
So I was finding fun ways to kill time at this layover. You know,
Julian has ADHD. He's the smartest guy, but he has ADHD, so he can't focus on anything for too long.
No,
he gets distracted easily. That's why he constantly.
I'm already doing another podcast right now in my head.
So the whole time you guys were traveling, we were monitoring it.
I'll
we're
save Nick's
blackjack
story
for...
right after he's done.
Could you
we
save
were
Nick's
playing
story?
Blackjack for you know or gambling for 6 hours, and we kept seeing they're delayed further. And now all these dating stories and Uber. I mean, you guys.
Did you
had
gamble
a,
on when if our which flight we would be on?
We probably would have.
Yeah,
I didn't know if the no one knew actually what anything about you guys.
My favorite subtle moment was that nobody heard.
This is great.
Was at the end of the Uber ride. She kept asking, "What are you guys here for? Are you here for a bachelor party?" And we evaded the question.
Yeah, no, we never like answering.
Are you guys here for work? We evaded the question, and finally the Uber was pulling up, and she asked again. And we were about to get out, so I was just like, Mike's a comedian, we're with him.
After the lasagna line.
Yeah,
Mike's a comedian, we're with him this week. And she goes, well, have fun, whatever it is y'all are doing.
She did. She refused to believe.
China
refused to believe. And I gave her a 4-star because of that instead of a 5-star.
All right, we should stop because I don't even know when he's
okay
gonna. But... I think we don't have something. So let's. No, I'm kidding. That was funny.
We're gonna wrap this podcast episode.
We can hear Nate closing out.
Yeah.
So we should probably go back out there. He's gonna say, "I want to bring everybody back up,"
and
it would be awkward if
we're gonna be here podcasting.
Yeah.
Be funny.
All right. All right, so we're in Sacramento where the Kings play basketball. I think it's called the Golden One Arena, which is does not roll off the tongue so much. But Nate is on stage right now. I just brought him on stage. He's got an hour to go. How did you guys feel like your sets went tonight in this arena? Joe, how did yours go?
I went first tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was... over 16,000 people was very large, and the in the round sets have been going very well. But within the first, it went well. But in the first minute, I said something about.
No, hold on.
I love you.
I want to make sure everybody understands that it went well. It did go well.
It did go well.
Despite what he's about to say.
It did go well.
It did go well. All right, Joe, what happened?
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Anish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
So I don't know if you've ever had 16,000 people boo you all at once.
I did.
Nick did.
I did tonight.
Yeah. He goes, I'm a Celtics fan.
Hey, don't get ahead. By the way, don't ask questions that are going to get ahead of you because we'll get to Nick in a second.
All of a sudden it's coming across like this is just the worst show.
What did you say exactly,
How
Joe?
Did you get booed so fast? I don't remember. Yeah, what'd you say?
No, I'm joking. Within the first minute, though, I have a newish joke about how I read a lot of self-help books, and I read one that said, what you need to do is you need to look in a mirror and say, I love myself.
Mm-hmm.
And a lady goes, I love myself. I love myself. And I was
wow.
Like,
I didn't hear that.
And it was like so early in the set in front of 16,000 people that I was just like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no more yelling out.
He did turn into a teacher.
I'll just continue with this joke because I don't want to do crowd work in front of 16,000 people.
Oh man,
this early on in a set.
We're different comics.
No. So I would have handled it differently.
But that is hilarious to yell that out. That's the craziest heckle I think I've ever heard.
I know. I wish I had been more ready to. I think,
I don't think people understand. It's the first thing you said, so there's no momentum.
Yes.
Well, they don't.
You know what I mean? That's why it's difficult.
They don't trust that you're funny yet because you've just gotten through a setup. So they're just you can't just attack a lady.
They were rowdy though. They were definitely random things.
I've done is a setup in front of 16,000 people. I love myself. I love myself. And I'm like, well,
it's always the woman
haven't earned the other 16,000 people's trust yet. To really go into this.
I do need to get 16,000 people to love me also first.
Well, $15.99.
Yeah.
$15,999.
That's funny. And then Mike, you went
and
second.
That was following.
Oh, wait.
That was, No.
I'm sorry. I didn't know Joe had more.
This
is longer than your actual set, by the
basically,
way.
Basically, I was okay, I moved on. And then I was just I tried to do my best material. And it went well. But I wish I had been more fun with that lady.
That is very early. It takes quite a bit of you got to think of something quick when it's that soon, because you really are. That now becomes your first joke. How you handle becomes your. And if you miss, it's not only did I miss, I missed attacking one of you.
And
so
you're
attacking
a self-help. So if it goes wrong, this is somebody who's also needs help. You're
also, she
weird.
Didn't attack you. She just yelled, "I love myself," which is
The easiest.
But she was making it about her. We all know that people do that. She's making it about her in the first 15 seconds of your set, which is not cool.
A perfect comeback for me would have been, okay, maybe love yourself a little less.
Yeah. Or quietly.
Yeah, quietly. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on from me. My set was terrific. It was hard for Mike to follow. Okay, Mike, go ahead.
It was. And, you know, Julian had an interaction with a guy beforehand, and I was sitting. First of all, Julian did 15 minutes on a shirt. which I thought was great. It's it's a glitter, and then they were rolling in the aisles, oh my god, it's a glitter shirt.
It is. They could. I mean, but it's a.
We're all
Julian was
merch.
Killing with off the cuff material.
Minutes, I only did 15. All right, so I think I showed some restraint.
There's a lot of rhinestones on.
It is.
Too.
So and then so I'm just. It's weird because it's a long walk to the stage. So I went to the stage early, and then I just was there. there's people just watching me.
Oh, because the guy was
stand by
yelled
the stage.
Out, and I had to. Yeah,
you yelled back. You went back and forth and scored off him.
Yeah,
and crushed.
Yeah,
and then
Joe, that means somebody heckled and I handled it well. Okay, go ahead.
Interesting.
Interesting.
So then I'm just pacing back and forth. And the people are looking at me like I'm a psycho, and then I squat down for some reason.
Mike, no one thought you were a psycho. You are the most sensitive dude in the
sensitive.
World. That place is enormous.
That just hurt my
You're
feelings.
You're 5'9".
That just hurt my feelings.
Tops, 5'9" tops. No one was staring at you who is this psychopath? No one was looking at you. Look at this shirt. They were looking at the shirt, Mike. Look at this.
Well, then you called me up. And then I went, and I had to focus on staying in a certain part. I'm not used to, this is my first leg of the tour in the round. So I had to focus on staying inside the tape and, you know, in the light and all that stuff. So, and watching the clock. So, the set went very well. The crowd was very responsive, and the jokes, I think it helps to slow down a little bit because the jokes hit and then there's a little bit of a delay and then you feel it come back.
Yeah.
And in the club, it's just an immediate response. So the timing is a little bit different.
Yeah, if you wait, they'll give you an extra one almost every joke.
Yeah.
And, if I had to do an hour, I would be going so slow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But also, I feel like if you go really fast, too, there's no time for them to feel what you're doing.
Right.
Beyond that. Yeah. You're just I feel like there are times when I have gone really fast and you're just then you're oh, wait a minute. And then you just, it's a weird rhythm for them.
It is funny to go fast and be I said everything I had to say. Good night.
No, but it definitely pays to slow down.
Yeah,
and
it's so hard to remember.
And also, it's we all have to remember also, it's we're trying to get the,
it's like, especially for me, it's like sit in the laugh a little bit.
I know.
Like,
it's
just
so
sit
hard.
In it and relax a little bit, and yeah. you know, enjoy they're going to be there for the next one.
It's so hard to enjoy it. Yeah. It's crazy. Nick, how did you opened with a yeah. with a doozy? You brought
yeah.
it on yourself.
So I brought this on myself. First of all, I love that you have to set up like we're in Sacramento, we're the Kings play. I'm wearing a purple Kings shirt. Everyone's yeah. wearing like insane
Kings
swag.
Merch.
Yes,
Kings merch. So I was talking about I had a joke that I was going to do about white chocolate, and you know, I'm just talking to the lady with the swag stuff. But in reality, I am a Celtics fan.
Right.
So I opened up being like, "It's crazy to be here. I'm a Celtic fan." Decided to like
the booing.
Everybody booed.
I decided to get a booed. The Celtics beat them tonight too.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. So I decided hilarious. To do it, and then I was like,
I thought that was a dumb thing to say when I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. It was a dumb thing to say, but also I knew that I was going to get the booed.
Yeah, know? Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I was like, I know what I want to do next is I liked them at that time, and mm-hmm. you know. In reality, I probably stepped on. If I had just gone something about Kings, the white chocolate thing would have hit harder.
Yeah.
But it's still kind of, it was strategic. Cause I mean, wanted them to do that and then lead into the next
thing.
I
wish you would have gone complete heel and be like, I'm a Celtics fan, and then just let them boo you and yeah. they go, shut up. You shut your mouths. You shut your mouths.
Celtics are the best team in the country yeah. this year.
Yeah, but, that so. And when we were in Boston, I said I was from Philly
yeah.
right away.
Oh yeah,
and I mean the booing that was nothing. The boo obviously the booing in Boston yeah. for Philly is like yeah. insane. And then I go, I said, I can't. I go, I knew you guys were gonna do that, but can you chill out a little bit? My 10-year-old daughter is here, and yeah. they booed louder. They booed Boldy, and I thought that was that made me respect the city a lot. It really did.
What was their reaction to the? The Boston racism joke.
I reworded it a little bit where I said, people say, I do the Philly thing being the rudest, and then I say, and I always defend you guys. I go, yeah. Boston's not the rudest city in the country. You're thinking of racism.
That's really
I do it like great. A flip like that. They loved it. I mean, it was fine. And mostly I crap on Philly, so they love that.
Yeah. But I think even when you do that always, though, if you could do something that's like you can win them back in easy
yeah.
by getting that reaction, like mm-hmm. like a boo.
Oh, you know, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like a way to just, as long as it's you have something that yeah. go dig a hole and you have a way out right. already. Like,
you know,
just be like, but they were fun in the 90s.
You know who used to dig holes to just to see if he could get out of them that were so deep? It was like, as a comic, you're like, I don't know if he's going to make it. Was Patrice.
Yeah.
Patrice
yeah.
used to dig a hole yeah, yeah. that would take 7 minutes. Yeah. He would dig dig a hole with no laughs for 7 full minutes.
Because he would say a statement that everybody would disagree with. And then
that's it. Yeah. I'm really going.
I watched him the best. Like, there was like a bringer show at Stand Up New York. Mm-hmm. And this guy went up and did 20 minutes. And he'd been doing comedy for, you know, 4 months or something. He's an author.
He goes, he did 20 minutes?
He did, yeah. He's like an author. It wasn't comedy. And he gets up there. He goes, that was the worst trash I've ever seen. This guy should, like,
Patrice said
yeah,
that?
Yeah. He just starts, like, but everybody in the audience
was
like, his family, friends, and he just trashes him. Like, and then everybody's like, and then he decides he just goes right into material, and
yeah.
they just hate him.
Yeah, he's unreal. But when you're, you know, when you're that good and you get bored, you're like, oh, let's see how much I can make these people hate me before I bring them back. And sometimes he never did. But that's
no, it's great. It's great if you would have, you know, said the thing about I'm a Boston fan, and then let them the boo die out, and then go, and that's why you guys can't satisfy your wives. What?
I said it. Chocolate.
You know what you could have said?
That's
also,
my name.
Also, you could have said, I brought up the Sacramento Kings when we were in Boston, and they didn't know who I was talking about.
That's good. But that is the funny
they'd
thing.
Never
too.
Heard
the Kings,
of you.
They don't really have a rival. Who are is there a dynasty? Who the Lakers?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, they like to. They're about an hour from Golden State, so they like they try to go hard against Golden State.
Yeah.
But Sacramento's only been good for a year and a half at basketball, so they don't yet have
fun,
a
though,
they don't
the
yet have a rivalry.
But I'll say that crowd had the energy of a blue collar, like and I mean that in as a compliment, a blue collar second market town that's like
they are always the best crowds.
Yeah,
I mean,
they were
and,
awesome.
And they were they had that energy, and that was
and that
awesome.
Was a great Bakersfield reference.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
that was really a good one.
The whole time I'm up there, so it's so funny because when you're in a show that big, I wonder what people think is going through your head, because you'd think, oh, you're never more present than when you're like in a situation like that. And I swear to God, I brought up that Bakersfield thing, and for the next 4 minutes that I was up there, I was talking, I was riffing, and all I was doing was trying to remember my Bakersfield joke. I had a Bakersfield joke that used to kill. I still can't remember
right.
it. And I was just like so mad up there. They think I'm having a great time. They think the show's going great. Right. And in my head, I'm just like furious that I
but
can't remember
this
joke.
But no, you probably was your brain going crazy, like, how can I work Bakersfield into this? And you did it off the Florida thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
yeah.
said Florida.
No. I brought up Bakersfield because the idea was they booed Florida.
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
like, you're not better.
Yeah.
You know, you yeah. have Bakersfield. Yeah. That's so yeah, that's yeah, all yeah.
Right.
that was all that was.
Right.
But I also have a bit about Bakersfield
right.
and I just couldn't remember it. But that if I could have done it then, it would have been they would have carried me out of there. You know what I mean? That's
a reference. The rival city.
Yeah.
Guys, can we switch gears and talk about the workout today?
Oh,
thank
well
you.
I didn't. But yeah, you guys can.
Thank you.
Yo, I gave it.
I gave it
about a 12% today. So I
didn't work out at all. I signed a waiver and I went in the parking lot.
You spent the whole time looking for a bathroom.
I did. I went in looking for a bathroom. I was like, here's a shower. Here's another shower. I'm going to take a call outside.
I didn't see Nick for 20 minutes and then he came in. Is there a bathroom?
Filled out his emergency contact information and he's like, what's this for? He's not doing anything strenuous at
Mike,
all.
When Mike works out, he looks like he's trying to work out so he doesn't kill somebody. That's what it looks like you're doing.
Dan Soder used to, I used to have a bag to go to the gym. He goes, what's in the bag? A picture of your enemy? Dan Soder.
Yeah,
same joke.
He looks like he's, you do look like you're taking out a lot of, getting out some anger.
Yeah. And Joe,
all the anger comes out too when you hit those little bars. You do that jump and you get it.
Yeah. How about how competitive Nate is?
Oh yeah.
Nate is like, first of all, on the phone, and
yeah.
then gets off the phone and starts working out, and then I'm going back and forth doing what Eric is telling me to do. Eric the trainer / barber, and
slash
you gotta let it know.
Slash
you gotta let it know.
and Nate just I'm going between things, and he goes, can you jump and get those rings? Because you can. You can. So you want to see if I can. And you want to, you're that, he's that competitive.
I love it.
We got to play basketball today, too, in the Kings training facility.
That was wild.
We did
the
a
practice
two day.
Court.
We
nicest
two
practice day. Court I've ever seen, or like nicest basketball court I've ever been
well,
on.
There's two courts. So there could have been like a tournament. Like
yeah.
I didn't get the rooftop. I didn't go up. You could get to the top of it. We walked up two flights, which I wasn't a fan of. Then I see this ladder, and I was like, okay, the chances of getting down for me are not the best. Like,
but what about the people who were there?
Yeah, what about it? How was it up there?
Should we be allowed to hear about it, though,
let's
Nick?
Let's hear about it. I'd like to hear about it. Okay.
No, I want to hear what it's like from the person that was down below the roof, wondering what was happening. On the roof.
By the way,
I was pacing around like a cat on the bottom. Like, yeah. I want to get up there. Then Eric comes down and he goes, look, even if you do get up here, it's a 5-foot railing. So you're not going to be able to see showing me a photo of it.
So
I was like, even if I hurt myself
true.
Trying to get up
that's
there,
true.
I still can't see.
Right.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Joe, what?
It was beautiful.
Wasn't
it
nice?
It was incredible.
I mean, I could barely see.
Joe, by the way, speaking of the workout, Joe is sneaky athletic. Like,
yes, he
Joe
is.
Joe looks like
yes, he is.
Thank
he
you.
Can read really fast, yeah. but it turns out he's also a menace on an exercise cycle.
He is like sneaky in everything, not just sports.
Yeah. Joe's a winner.
He's an unbelievable.
I'll just say it.
He'll play cards. Yeah. He wins at poker. He's an unbelievable poker player.
Joe's
athlete.
A winner.
He knows how to shuffle. You know, he knows. How
I will
to do
say
everything.
This though, clumsy, bit clumsy.
Mm.
Yeah, sometimes.
He's a high IQ klutz.
A lot of people compare me to Luka Doncic.
Doncic?
Is that a
Who
Russian
that?
Author? It's pronounced Dostoevsky.
Yeah. He's related to somebody that played on the Kings in the 90s.
Yeah.
Joe is a low-key champion.
Thank you.
Keeps it low-key.
By the way, if you've been watching the podcast this whole time and you're waiting for Nate, he has 40 minutes left. So we're just stick around and he'll be here.
We got a lot of time to fill. Yeah.
He's going to come in and sanction it. He's just going to come in and go, I approve this. Yeah. And then he's going to walk away. So anyway.
That'd be great if he came in and said, no, this is all wrong.
So where on your list?
Yeah, I was a Division I college athlete. That's probably why.
Yes.
Wow.
Probably why all the wins.
Oh, what sport was that, Joe?
It was a men's sport.
Okay.
Division
Ooh,
I.
Ooh, men's.
Division I.
Which
he won.
He was a golfer.
It was the sport.
It was,
golf. It was the sport you would guess.
Yeah. A lot of walking. The one with the most walking.
It's dinner time.
Oh, all right.
Okay. It's time to eat. It's a tough life we have. Well, no, we have a catered dinner with an award-winning chef.
I interrupted.
So we have to leave.
So real quick, thank you for joining us on in the whatever locker room we are every time on this podcast. But I want to say, so on a scale of all the cities, say there's 50 cities, what's Sacramento rate for you, Joe, in terms of that crowd? From 1 to 50, 1 being the best city ever.
Mm-hmm.
50 being wherever you're from.
Yeah. For me, solid 24.
24?
Solid 24
okay.
For me.
Wow. How do you like that, Sacramento? Nick?
I'm going to say it's a top 10.
Top 10? Yeah. Wow.
Recency bias. You would say that everywhere you were at.
Yeah.
Everywhere he was at, he would say top 10.
He's trying to get booked at the Sacramento Punchline.
Recency bias.
Mike,
Joe,
how about
don't
you?
Hate because Nick is pandering. That's his.
Hey, I'm not going to pander during the show. I'm a Celtic fan in real life. I want to let him know. I want to pander here with the three of us.
The it's people one watching are around the country.
It's number one for me because this is my first weekend of the year in the round. So it's
this
number
is the only
one.
One you know.
It's
He's
the only
talking
one
from the heart.
I like it.
Yeah.
It counts.
Nice
it counts number one. I like it. All right, let's go eat.
Wait, you didn't rank it, Julian.
Yeah, what is your? What do you think?
Huh?
What is
76.
76. Philadelphia reference.
This is Rugged Coffee Bros.
Cool, man. We're just going to be looking for churro flavor in every city. Now it'd be easy.
Is it? This is not churro. Samoa.
That's the one Chase had.
I'll text you. This guy makes his own stuff.
Yeah, pretty good.
It's not true.
Yeah, Vecchione, you want to weigh in on if it was a good
idea?
Sorry,
am I interrupting content?
Yeah, we are.
Ooh, Mike Vecchione.
Mike!
Thanks for hanging out with the group.
I lost you guys on the scooters.
Yeah, it's
Mike doesn't ride scooters. A little past his age a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness.
Your insurance policy has a clause, right?
I have a scooter, but it's a different kind of scooter.
Yeah. It's got a basket.
Yeah. There was a 1994 wrestling injury that we have.
You know I'm sensitive about that, Nick.
If you can call the chair that goes up the stairs a scooter, yeah, you got one.
I bowled with a little push cart last night, dude.
Mike and Nick walk in every arena. They go, what's your elevator situation like?
I do. I know exactly where they are. I'll tell you. There's one over here.
And I'll tell you if it's a violation.
Well, you know the whole perimeter.
I know the whole perimeter.
Yeah.
I also know there's no bike locks. So I was here 2 weeks ago. I was looking for a bike lock. They kept going, it's right on the other side. I went completely around. There is no bike lock here. She was like, you know, she's in swim lessons. She's 2, so she's like scared by everything. And, you know, I'm pacing around on the side like Mike in a wrestling tournament, making sure. You know what I mean? I'm trying to include you. You get quiet.
It's not my story. I'm not shy. I know how to do this, but it's not my story. It's your story about how you almost wanted
Who
to drown.
Who invented wrestling?
Mike. You almost drowned your daughter. Go ahead.
My daughter's alive. Everything's good. Mike was a Division II wrestler, almost Division I. He didn't make it. If he was 4 inches taller.
No, you had it wrong. Typical news. Nick Novicki news spin. I was a Division I wrestler and didn't make it.
Ah,
thank you.
All right. Will we just end on the sad moment?
Yeah.
But he loves wrestling. Who's the number one wrestler in the world? All right, anyways, we'll see.
Oh, my God. You're a great...
Hey! Peggy. Honda Center, baby.
I hope you fall off your scooter.
Oh, man. I'm not riding a scooter for that reason. I'm a bike man.
You're a bike man now?
I'm a bike man.
I'm glad there's no locks in Anaheim.
There definitely isn't.
That was really...
There's definitely no locks.
Do you guys ever look at the empty seats and I don't know, it freaks me out that there's just going to be that many people. Like that.
Well, I'm comfortable because this is how I draw.
Mike. We're doing the 3 p.m. show. I'm comfortable in the daytime show, actually. A lot of people don't like the daytimes. I like daytime shows.
Is it a 3 p.m. today?
No, but I'm saying in general, it's like...
I hope not.
You scared me.
This is crazy, though. When you sit with the lights on, it's a little bit more intimidating. Like, my vision is so bad that usually...
Oh, that's great.
I can't even tell the difference until you actually are there, and then you're just in the moment and, you know, on stage. Because when the lights are out, you can see the people, but mostly just... here, but when you're with the lights on, it's insane looking around. Yeah. I mean, how many people will be here?
Do you like the lights off or on?
I like them off, truth be told. You like them on?
Yeah.
You always have liked a
because
room
I
really
like,
light.
No,
I like
because
a dark
I like to
room.
See.
Like to,
I'm just used to the club, so it's used to connecting to people.
Yeah, I like
them. And then, like, you're not connecting to people in a dark room. You can't see them. You're just doing your jokes into the darkness, right?
Yeah, but I can't see more than a couple rows either way.
You're blind
so
anyway.
In a club or this, I'm just basically like, you know, it doesn't matter. The vision side doesn't change for me.
And now coming to the stage, a man who badly needs to see a doctor! I'll be surprised if he can make it up here!
Woo!
Give it up! Seeing Eye Dog included is not for his act, it's so he can make it to the stage! Give it up for the Polish rifle, Nick Nowicki!
Woo! Kabasa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that was the only time Paul.
Here we are. We're at the Honda Center. Guys,
because of editing, this just never ends. It's like you're still on.
Mike, what do you think about the seats? Do you like them with the light or the dark again?
No, I like them with. I like them padded.
Now, can you do this again with a little bit more energy? A little bit of smile. Give it a little pepper and a little bit of Mike Vecchione in a varsity wrestling match. All right, go. On the count of three. Mean mug him.
Wrestling. I have to pee every 30 seconds. Cut that. You cut that. Cut what I just said. You understand? I'll have you in court.
Martin Short goes, the only time I don't have to pee is while I'm peeing.
That's a great one.
But you're 30 seconds, that was funny.
30 seconds to Mars.
What? You're just appealing to the young people that
I'm
are 40?
I'm doing a Robin Williams where I just say something and then riff on. 30 seconds to Mars! 30 seconds? 30 seconds to pee? 30 seconds to Mars! You know what I'm talking about. Wacky! Woo! Alright!
It's the same,
moving
it's
on.
The same words.
We're just moving on. Can I do a confessional?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cut Julian out of the shot.
Of course.
Julian, okay, we've been friends for a long time. Julian and I have been friends for a long time, and I love his style, his talent, his quick brain. He's unbelievably emotionally available. He's a fantastic person, okay? Known him for years. We lost him to LA for a while. I was afraid he was going to come back with an earring, maybe a nose ring, and try to explain it in some kind of neo-political way that they do, like in the trendy coffee shops. But he didn't do that, and I was like, our boy is back. He's home. Anyway, we're on the road, and are you shooting me still? Are you shooting, are you shooting B-roll while I'm on?
Sorry, no.
I don't know what your technique is. I don't know what your process is, and I'm not trying to judge it. But if this doesn't come out perfect, I'm slapping you. I'm gonna open hand slap you. I hope that's okay. I bought you a coffee.
It was a great coffee, thank you.
Thank you. Now, Julian, I get a text. Like, we're on the road, we're flying back.
okay? Great shows. Julian's an amazing talent. I always thought so. And I'm in the bed, scrolling, doing my boxing videos that I watch, and the guys are speaking in Russian. My phone starts going off. 4 a.m. 4 a.m. My phone starts going off. I look at it. It's a text from Julian, and not a group text where we all get to chime in. It's just one-on-one, Julian to me. And he's like, hey, Mike, will you wake me up in the morning? I forgot my charger. And I think to myself, at first I get pissed. I'm like, this guy, who does he think he's dealing with? Then I go, that is so Julian. That, I remember who you, you know how sometimes you get in a whirlwind when somebody sends you a text, and then you go, oh wait, who am I dealing with? This is so Julian. This is so Julian right now. So I give him a little, I want him to sweat it out. So I wait about 7 to 10 minutes, and then I text back, because it needs to be on my terms. I go, look, I'll knock when I wake up. I'll knock on your door when I wake up. I forgot the body of the story. That happens sometimes, where I'm telling a story and I'll just forget the main idea of the story because I'm off on a detail so much. Julian, how's your battery? Is the battery okay?
11%.
11%. That's how much I give during my headlining shows.
Go on.
Okay, so he texts me, look, I forgot my charger, classic Julian, and my phone is dead. I have no way to wake up in the morning. I might sleep. So can you wake me up at 10? Can you knock on my door at 10? He gives me the room number, which I don't want to give out. So even though we're not at the hotel anymore, I don't want people going in and sniffing Julian's sheets. His fan base does that. They're sheet sniffers. Look at me, sheet sniffers. Anyway, he texts me, can you knock on my door to wake me up? I forgot my charger. And I text back, hey, buddy, because I'm a boundaries guy, when I wake up, then I'll knock on your door. So he doesn't reply. And I'm like, that's a bit odd. And so I wake up naturally at maybe 10:30. And I go to Julian's room. I almost lock myself out of my own room. And I go to this room and I knock. I knock a couple times and he's yelling to me. Like, the rooms are not suites, they're small. He seems to be yelling at me from across the room, and I'm like, can we have an interface, like friendship? And he's like, yeah, I got it. Yeah, I'm up, I got it. And I'm like, Julian, I don't think you understand how friendship works. It's like, open the door. Eye contact, face-to-face conversation. You don't just yell at me through a door after you ask me a favor. I mean, maybe that's how they do it in LA. Maybe that's called networking in LA. But in New York, that's not how we do it, the face-to-face. So Julian just goes, I'll see you down there. I said, no, Julian, I have boundaries. I go, I'll see you down there. I say to him, and he goes, okay. He felt where I was going, you know, first responder energy. I go back to my room, and then I do my aggressive breathing. It's 20 minutes. No one buys into it. I try to sell it to everybody. It's a form of meditation, but it combines breathing with meditation, and I swear by it. And I took a cold shower because I was heated from the interaction with Julian of being disrespected. But then I thought, this is classic Julian. It's not disrespect. It's just classic Julian. And then we met in the lobby, hugged, and I held the hug longer than it should have been held. And
it was a little tight.
We jumped into an Uber, a tight Uber, and I did that on purpose. I didn't want room. I didn't want space. I wanted to sit next to Julian. To, you know, you have to repair the bond sometimes. You have to repair the bond. And then we made it to the airport, and I even said to him, to show there was no hard feelings, Julian, you want a coffee? And I think he was still hurt, so he's like, no, I don't need a coffee from you. And I was like, Julian, a coffee? And he was like, no. And here we are. So that's stories from the road. Everybody thinks we get along and we're great and we're friends, but there is conflict on the Nateland. If like you know, if Nateland was a country, I would be New York. Julian would be L.A.
Oh my God!
And we have to, we have to bridge the gap between lattes and networking and going out
you
and
go
like
to,
hanging
you
out.
Go to, you live in L.A. for 10 years. All of a sudden, you're L.A. It's not fair. All right, I was in it. I never felt like I belonged there. I prefer your face to face, you know, awkward, intense closeness. I
Why
prefer that.
Why would you answer the door? Just answer the door. You asked me to knock on the door, and then you didn't answer.
To be fair to myself, I forgot I asked you to do that, and I thought you were housekeeping. And I said, no, thank you. And then you got offended.
You forgot that I you forgot that you texted. How many other
you
guys?
Knocked.
How many other men are you texting at 4 a.m.?
You knocked at 10:30. I'm not used to a more every morning knock I've ever gotten in a hotel is housekeeping. Mm-hmm. So I hear the knock, my fight or flight goes, it's housekeeping. I yell, no thank you. And then you're like, oh, you asked me to do this. I'm like, oh God, it's Mike, you know? But then
I'm a pizza guy now. I'm a pizza delivery guy. Don't want none, don't know. Extra pepperoni.
I do think it's funny that I asked you to wake me up in the morning and then you knocked and I was like, no thank you. But I did, I appreciate it. And I woke up and when you woke me up, I immediately, I rolled over and I turned on a movie and I fell back asleep. So thank you.
You fell back asleep after I woke you up?
A little bit I did.
I thought you were like, were on the phone or it felt like you were doing something
It sounded
else.
Like I was panicking. It's okay. Thank you. It's all right, Michael. See you downstairs.
I got other things going on in here. I thought you were on a Zoom with a network.
Yeah. Like I got a money counter going and I...
I didn't know what you were doing in there.
No, I was, you woke me from a dead sleep and I panicked. And I said, go away, please, after you were doing me a favor. But yeah, I recommend if you do have your friend wake you up, don't have someone as intense as this guy. You want to get your more, like...
Look at this haircut. I do the job. I do the job.
It was funny. I was shocked you were like, you're not going to let me in? I'm like, for what? I'm awake. But now I get it. Because you're... You got feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feelings.
And I forgot about that because it was early.
I thought you were already up. You were like, I'm up. I'm already up.
That's my trick.
Yeah.
From years of alcoholism to go from a dead sleep to be like, I'm dead awake. I've already.
So things are not always peaceful. I want to just stress the narrative here.
Yeah.
Things are not always peaceful on the road with Nateland. Oh, you guys get along. You guys are... Yes, we are friends, and there's a deeper bond, which is how we're able to weather these conflicts. This is a conflict.
I think
this
people
is a
need
serious
to understand
conflict.
Something.
When I saw Julian in the morning in the lobby, I didn't know how it was going to go. I didn't know how it was going to go. Is this going to be a problem? Are we squaring up? Julian's a natural athlete. Baseball player.
Yeah.
Could have went pro.
It's true.
I don't know what I'm dealing with here. I don't know if I'm getting my head taken off.
Yeah.
I gotta be in a defense. I had my hands up. I was like, what's up, Julian? What's up? How you doing? Just in case he decided to come over with a hook or something and I wasn't expecting it. Then a man's down in the lobby and we have to call Abigail or somebody, not Nate himself, but somebody from the Nate Land team. Nate doesn't want to hear about this.
It's kind of stuff. Here's the thing. Mike says the Nate Land tour is not peaceful. It's actually really peaceful. Mike is it's a little tense.
I didn't say it wasn't peaceful. I said that there's conflict and there's undertones of conflict within
I'm
the
saying
Nate
that's
Land
all,
family.
It's, but I'm saying it's within
I'm not,
Mike.
No, it's not.
It's within, all within Mike.
What we're doing is, I understand the Nate Land brand. Do you understand branding?
No. What is
okay,
it?
Okay, branding is when you portray yourself. And Nateland, the Nateland brand is peaceful. But the people are watching this, they're like, we've had enough peace. What's the dirt? And I'm giving it to them.
Okay.
And I'm giving it to them right in the throat.
I got you, yeah. The Mike brand is someone's always coming, so get in a stance.
Yeah.
And get ready because the world wants to beat you to the ground and it's up to you to have boundaries.
Right, boundaries.
And then make people feel bad about not being a better friend. And that's a good brand. I think it's very likable. People like being around it.
Yeah. I don't know if that's my brand. I think my brand is too. Can I
I don't think
you
I understand brand. I don't think I understand
I don't
what
think
brand
you understand
is.
Brand either. It's like
was I describing a vibe?
A vibe.
Is a vibe different than a brand?
Yeah. A brand.
Guys, my camera's on 2%, so.
Oh, just his camera's gonna die. Can you wake him up later and let him know he's got a charge?
So if you guys want to wrap up the weekend here.
Okay. That was a perfect wrap up.
That
your camera's gonna die. Julian's phone died. It's like, are you guys responsible
I think it was a
at
great,
all for anything?
It was a great weekend because there's
Nate books a nice balance of acts. The crowd had a Nate's hour is amazing right now. So he's great. He's all set. The drama's with the openers.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, I get up there, too. I'm the host, we are. But I get up there, I'm the host, I'm fun. I'm like, hey, we're having a good time. Then we bring Mike up to remind him that the world's not a safe place. You know what I mean? And you better laugh at it because people are out to get you. And then we have Nick Novicki come out. And he's like, you know, his happy horse shit.
Yeah.
And then we bring out Joe Zimmerman, who...
you have to tell him there's a stage. He'll wander past it. Is that a hawk?
He brings his own leather-bound chair to sit in, and then he smokes a pipe and does his act. No, it's a great, you know, one of these before Nate gets up there. It goes like this with the openers. It was a great weekend. We did Sacramento, we did Anaheim, and we did Tahoe. And I'm telling you... The vibe on stage, it's very cool. It starts, it's like this, then it goes like this, then it goes like this, and then Nate gets on stage, and then it's good.
Yes. And in between that, we played pickleball, which is a sport for somebody over 70. No, I love it. I love it. I'm not complaining about it. Pickleball.
It makes you feel young.
Pickleball.
Yeah.
Pickleball.
I'm a Celtic fan. I'm a Celtic fan.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.